Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you everybody for tuning in. Global from Asia, episode 40. And I'm recording today's intro on the 4th of July here in mainland China. I'm still a proud American, which can be hard to keep up when there's no fireworks, campfires, marshmallows, and barbecues like I remember back being stateside. From last week, I was recording in Shanghai. Now I'm back down in south in Shenzhen after a couple weeks on the road in Chengdu as well as in Shanghai. And I'm really happy to catch up with my family, and I'm excited to update everybody listening that I will be a columnist on Forbes China. It was a pretty unexpected news when I was in their office in Shanghai just visiting them. They asked me to be a contributor to interview on audio as well as in text in Chinese, the interviews of entrepreneurs in China and their stories. So I'm really pumped, and I'm getting some interviews lined up and roll it out very soon. Keep everybody updated here. So enough about the news and my travels. Let's jump into this week's episode. We have Hui Ying. She's a Chinese lawyer. She studied in the UK, and she's specializing in corporate law, been in Shenzhen for many, many years. And I know many listeners have been asking me how to properly set up contracts and make some deals with businesses in China, specifically Chinese factories and trading companies, and how to protect themselves. So actually, I'm really surprised with the quality of the interview we're going to listen to. I got way more value and feedback from her than I was expecting. So she dropped some really good education and knowledge for everybody listening. So I would definitely appreciate everybody for listening up. Let's get going. So thank you everyone for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have a guest here, Hui Ying. Thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Mike.
So nice to have you on the show, and really appreciate it. So, you know, to start off with your introduction, you went to school in Aberdeen Law School in the UK. And so you have both Eastern and Western culture and business experience. Maybe you have some preferences or ideas of which you like better.
I think that's a bit tricky question. Sure, the Western legal system is much better developed in the long and continuous historical background. But China, as you know, in the past 100 years has experienced lots of difficult political turbulences, which has suspended the development of continuous legal system. And the modern Chinese legal system is quite short. But since China has a very long history, we have inherited from our ancestors many traditions, morals, and values, which will all help to establish a better society and to assist the development of the legal system. And Chinese people and the government all are working hard to make a better society and system. So I still have confidence in China.
Great. I'm happy to have you on. Give us the perspective. I think, you know, there's still so many cultural differences, right, between China and a foreigner. So maybe you can introduce yourself for our listeners.
I am a partner of a legal consulting company for the recent 10 years. Before that, I studied law in Aberdeen Law School in UK and got an LLM degree in commercial law. And then before this study, I worked in a helicopter corporation in Shenzhen for nearly 8 years in a commercial department, also working as like a in-house. So it is doing contract negotiations like a legal counsel. And at the very beginning of my career, I was an English teacher and taught English for several years. So that's all about me.
Great. Where is your hometown?
Northern China, Heilongjiang.
Oh, Heilongjiang. Okay.
A very cold place.
Yes. I like the north. I don't know if you know, my wife is from Shenyang, Dongbei. It's also north, cold.
Also north, yeah. Three provinces in China.
Yeah.
Very cold places.
So you prefer the south in Shenzhen, or?
Yeah, because it's more than 20 years I've lived in the south. But still, you know, northern China is my hometown. I still enjoy snow and cold weather.
Yeah, I understand. I'm like that too. I'd like to visit. I don't know if I'd like to live in this cold.
Yeah, to live will be difficult.
Yeah,
to live with snow will be fun.
Great. So I think for my first kind of like question is, you know, for me, I think I've been in China 6 or 7 years, and I think that the legal system has been improving. What is your feeling about the development of the law, the legal system, in your experience?
Yeah, you're right. The legal system is developing, you know, very fast. Actually, not only the 6 or 7 years, it's been developing for 30 years, I think. So, no, if you subscribe the new law, you can see nearly every day there will be several new laws, you know, promulgated or published, new laws and new regulations. Because China is, you know, in very fast developing speed, and every month, every, you know, year, there will be new situations to be met by the government. So they will investigate the situation, and then they will give new solutions, which is, you know, new laws will be published.
Got it. I know this is very complicated, but is the law usually, there's local city law, there's like province, and there's the whole country?
Yeah. Few cities like Shenzhen, they can have the right to have local laws.
So most cities don't have local law?
They have regulations.
Regulations, not laws.
Laws cannot be enacted by, you know, everyone. So only the PC is the place to, you know, it's the organization to make the legislation.
Okay, what can you maybe share? What's the PC for listeners that aren't familiar?
NPC is the National People's Congress in China.
People's Congress.
National People's Congress.
National People's Congress.
Right. Yeah, that's the organization to make legislation in China, yeah.
So I know it's going to be hard to cover this on one show, but can you maybe explain quickly what is that?
You know, in China's political organization, there's, you know, this National People's Congress. On the structure, it is it's the highest layer of the country to make the legislation. And so though most people maybe have different attitude towards this, but it is the, you know, the organization to make the legislation.
Got it. Yeah, I don't want to get too political, so let's maybe stay on the business.
Yeah.
This is more of a business show. So, so you know, this will be our 40th episode. And so in a lot of our previous shows, we had some of our the guests kind of complaining about losing money from factories and not really maybe the contracts that they had didn't seem to help with negotiations or getting help from the losing the money. Do you have any tips about this, or what are your feelings?
Yeah, I think it's quite true, because, you know, lots of purchase, lots of tradings, they have disputes, like quality issues, like delivery issues, lots of, also there are some factories, they just disappeared or something like that. So the other party to the contract may experience the lots of loss. I think the most important thing is also the contract. I met many cases, you know, the two parties just sign, you know, one page. It's a contract of just one page and several clauses, just the two parties' name and the goods name and the price and the delivery date, and that's all. Actually, yeah, it's just like an order, but when you have no problem, it's okay. But when you have problems, and then it will be difficult to, you know, to use this as a base to, you know, to claim for your, you know, benefit. So I would suggest people to have a strict contract.
Yeah, that's true. I think, you know, a lot of people do I guess I'll say complain about China, but if you have a one-page contract, I think anywhere in the world, it's probably difficult to get much help in the legal system.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think making a more detailed contract.
Yeah.
I think what I've learned in China is in culture, the culture is if it's not written very clearly, you know, they can't help you. You know, what you think is assumptions or what you think is clear, you still need to write it down very detailed in an agreement. So
yeah.
I know people want to quickly do business, but they need to also take the time to make a clear contract and agreement. So we'll get into more detail and further questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, so a business maybe from USA or Europe, they're buying from a company in China, a factory or a trading company.
Yeah.
They need to make a contract, of course, like you said, but sometimes they feel if they're a USA company and then it's a China company, how can a contract help? Is it helpful still?
Yeah, sure. It's, a contract just is the expression of the parties to the contract, no matter which state the parties may belong to. So, no. The example you raised will be an international contract. So it's the same protection, you know, as the contract we do in the local place. So an international contract, the most important thing is to make the applicable law clause clearer, you know, like what kind of law will be applicable in this contract. That will be very important.
Got it. So maybe quickly, I noticed, again, it's really hard to get into details on this shorter interview, but if a USA company wants to buy from a Chinese factory, the law, what do you, I think maybe it's better to put the Chinese law or?
It depends. It's, the Chinese party will argue to have Chinese law, and US company may argue to use US law, but this depends which, you know, the party you say you are suing will be based.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have a dispute, you need to have your laws covered. And so you can see which jurisdiction can help you to make the laws back. That will be the best one.
Got it. You know, it's hard to make recommendations, but I think I would probably do China because, of course, you'd have to travel to China with court, but I that's my feeling normally. So the show is about Hong Kong companies doing business around the world, and a lot of times I think Hong Kong is a kind of a good place. Is that better, like, to have Hong Kong contracts with a Hong Kong company? Sometimes even the factories have a Hong Kong company as well. Do you think that's more effective or helpful?
I think it depends. It depends what kind of business you are doing here. And it depends what kind of scale of the company will be. If you say you're just a purchasing center here, you can make it in Hong Kong, and then you're just doing trading here, and that will be easier. But if you make a manufacturing, you know, base or kind of a R&D research center, that will be in a larger scale, then it will be better to set up just a limited company here in China, I think. Because, you know, Hong Kong and China, it's still in two different legal systems. Also, you need to consider about, the employment, the staff employment issue. If you know whether this company in Hong Kong will employ Chinese staff or not. So that's also the issues to consider.
Yeah, I agree. So let me maybe help make it more, I think, we'll assume on the show a lot of these listeners have maybe a Hong Kong company, but they don't have maybe full-time workers. They're more of a trading company, import-export, buying from a Chinese factory.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've talked to a lot of different people, and they're really just trying to be more effective with protecting themselves in buying from a factory. So they wonder if a Hong Kong company with a contract from Hong Kong to China is good for buying from a factory.
Yeah.
So then that's good. I I guess, again, it's probably hard. I know it always depends, but sometimes these Chinese factories also have a Hong Kong company they set up with the Hong Kong bank.
Yeah, that is payment. Tax considerations.
Yeah, that is true because Hong Kong taxes are much more. So I know some people have asked and wondered if they have a company, if the factory has a company in Hong Kong, does that, it's still a separate company than the Chinese factory, right? There's no connection usually from that company to the Chinese factory?
Yeah, they may set up different companies. Yeah.
I know it's really hard to know every case, but so maybe the Chinese factory is just setting up a, we can call it a shell company in Hong Kong with no, with not much money. And then even if you had a problem with the factory in China, if you sue the company in Hong Kong, if they have no money or they, you know, they close the company or bankrupt the company, you might not get much money, right? Or no, it won't help in China.
That's true, yeah.
So, yeah, I know it's tricky, right? So maybe, I
so
guess...
So you need to, you know, as a client, you need to know all the, you know, like the organizations of the company you are dealing with. So you understand clear. And then you can make the contract arrangement better.
Yeah, I agree. It's really hard, though. I think, obviously, you know Alibaba, and there's a lot of foreigners never come to China, and they search Alibaba, and they talk on Skype, or, you know, they chat online or email, and then they make a order, and then they're about to pay the money, and then they think, okay, what do I do? Do I just send the money? Do I send a contract? This is kind of like, I think, the listeners mostly here on the show are. So they ask me, oh, what kind of contract do I send? Or, you know, they have no idea, really, especially the first time. And they don't buy big amounts. Maybe they buy $10,000, $20,000 US, or, you know, 60,000 RMB or 120,000 RMB. I know it's really hard, but they can't afford a lawyer, maybe. Or they, what's your thinking there? I mean, generally, it's really hard, right?
Yeah, still, yeah, we have the same problem here in China. Yeah, you know, small businesses, they, yeah, we just want to save costs. That's true. I think it's starting a business, you need to make some judgment. It's also something like, you know, depending on your judgment and your luck, whether you can meet and decide to deal with nice people. And nice people is you know, existing in everywhere in here or in the Western world. I think by nature, humans are the same. There are some, you know, good human. There are some bad human.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's depending on your luck and also your judgment. I think most cases you can, when you deal with a person, I think several times you can find whether it is the right person to deal with. Still, in the process, you need to be cautious and alert all the way. Sometimes, you know, in the end, you know, when make payment, there may be also trick. So about the bad checks and everything can happen. So
yeah, I've been through many. I've even had my own problems, and I've heard many other people's problems. But sometimes the other problem is that they talk to the English speaking sales person, either a man or a woman. I think usually it's a younger woman, you know, 25 years old. With English, business English, college degree that does sales, international business for the factory. So a lot of times that's the contact person that the buyer, the foreigner, talks to in China. So they don't know the factory owner. They're just talking to the sales girl or salesman on Skype. So this is always an issue. And then sometimes it's not even the fault of the salesman, but the factory then decides to change something, right? That's really hard.
You need to know about if the deal is large enough, you need to know about the boss, you know, decision maker. Yeah, that is the key person you need to understand.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of times the salesman, well, hopefully they even stay in the company, but if they stay, sometimes they still don't have much control about the order a lot of times. So, yeah, I think you're right, though. If it's a small businesses, they can't come to China. They can't know the factory. They don't speak Chinese. So I think it's luck, honestly. And I think maybe they just have to will. Sometimes we, a lot of times, say do a smaller order. I mean, even, you know, I think maybe you think, or some people think $10,000 or 60,000 RMB is not a lot, but to a small business, that's a lot. They can't really risk that. So sometimes they try to do even smaller orders just to get a little bit of a sample to see. Yeah. So talking about the order size, I had a bad factory buying issue maybe 2008. And I remember I talked to a lawyer and they said that it wasn't big enough an order to make it worth it. It was $40,000 and it was a quality problem. And they said normally the order should be at least $100,000 to make it worth to sue the factory or to go to court. What are you thinking of this?
I would say, you know, that's from the lawyer's point of view, because, you know, he may charge by percentage of the, you know, deal size. So the more the better.
Yeah, true.
But actually, the case is not like that. You know, even maybe several thousand US dollar, you can also go to the court. You know, it's there's no limit like that. But just, you know, you need to consider about the time, energy, and money you invested into the, you know, the action, the case.
Got it.
So also in the, you know, there will be in China, there will be different layers of court. You know, there are a Supreme Court, there are intermediate court, there are primary court. So different sides will go to different layers of court. So you have a place to go, just you decide whether you need, you want to go.
Got it. Maybe some examples. I know you probably can't talk too much detail about your clients' cases, but if you're willing or able to give an example of a Western business that does a good job of protecting itself or contracts with China, some kind of example?
Yeah, there are many aircraft company from US. They produced fixed wing, a small fixed wing aircraft, and they find a partner first in Zhejiang province. But later on they find a better partner in Beijing. And then they started to negotiate with the new partner. Why they can do this? Because I think the previous contract, they made something, they can just escape from that contract. So that's not a good example, actually. It's good for this US company, but it's not good for the Zhejiang company. So that's the importance of the contract.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely a good case for the foreigner could win.
Yeah,
in China.
Yeah, well, I think it should not be encouraged, you know, you're talking.
Yeah, I mean,
suspend the cooperation with A and then start to with cooperation with B, and A will be feeling very sad, but just they can do because
of course, nobody likes to lose a business cooperation. And I think this is a lot of times the cultural differences. I think Western business is more direct, maybe, or more
profit, proceed.
Yeah, more about the money than the relationship.
Yeah, maybe. And also, there's another, a joint venture. Yeah, there's another joint venture, I think about 10 years ago. You know, they, from Europe, they first failed, you know, for their first joint venture here in China. And just for the second one, they were very cautious. And then they had a joint venture with a Wuxi company, and a very successful one.
That's really
still
good.
They are still running for more than 10 years here.
Yeah.
Profiting, yeah.
Exactly. I agree. Like I said, I've been here 6 or 7 years, and I'm learning myself. And it's also very important to build a good relationship, and I think start slowly, right? Not go too quickly is a key. And it seems like there's always a mistake at the beginning or a wrong decision at the beginning, and then you need to just be able to learn from that and to improve.
Yeah, you will know which points or which places you need to be cautious and you need to be accurate to insist.
Yes. So some more not so fun, or maybe funny, but not fun for the client, but maybe some bad examples or failures that you've come across and how maybe we could learn from that?
There are also lots of failures. Like, this is not my client, but it's a famous one, like some Japanese golf club in Shenzhen. You know, I think it's been running very well, but they sold their membership outside China, and then the China tax bureaus would be very disappointed on them, and then they were just stopped. They met a very big tax issues here in China, so that's the problem. Like a foreign company's established company in China and escaped some tax for selling memberships outside China.
I see. So they were maybe in Japan or in Hong Kong getting the sales for the membership. The customers were paying, but the members were benefiting inside of China or in Shenzhen. So they're providing the services in China, but they're receiving the sales outside of China.
So
that's, of course, we didn't talk about it on the show, but there's the famous fa piao, right? That's tax receipts, and that means that taxes goes to the Chinese government, and anybody in China has heard the word fa piao, so they were probably not giving fa piao and paying taxes for the sales, and this is definitely something the Chinese government or any government doesn't like, so that's definitely a bad one, bad example.
And also, there's a trading company from Spain. They bought some like MP3 years ago here in Shenzhen, and then they sold this to kind of the trading company. They sold this to the shop, and then the shop made the sale to the end user. And the quality, of that that product had lots of problems. And then the shop looked for them, and then they came back to China to find the factory. And the factory, provided a contract. The contract is, like I mentioned, very simple. It is, according to them, they have no responsibilities. And so they will need net. Also, the companies here in China has, had several, like a group companies. So it's very difficult for this Spain company to, focus on which one to sue. And also according to the quality, law in China, the contract is not so well made.
I had a similar problem where I...
Really?
I had a quality problem. I bought from Zhejiang province near Ningbo, and it was some containers, and there was a quality problem with the heat, so that what happened was when they got too hot in the car, the paint would, I'm not going to get into details of the product, but the paint would come off or melt. It was like the glue that held the sticker on would get wet and then come off. And then it would not stick back on, and it would crack. So the product was not usable. And then the factory told me that I didn't say they needed to withstand that heat level. And I have to admit, I didn't put that requirement in the agreement or the specification. So, I think that was another reason maybe the lawyer I talked to said that it wasn't worth trying to fight. So... anyway, that was a bad example for me. I think you have to have, like we said at the beginning of the show, every requirement you can think of, put it into the agreement. We didn't talk about language, but does English contract work in China or not?
Yeah, sure, go on.
Okay.
Yeah, because most cases involving foreign affairs, foreign factors will be to the intermediate court here. So in the intermediate court, will be efficient in English hearings. So there's no problem. Just just the two parties, you can choose which version of the contract will be effective, will be prevail.
Yeah, that's great to hear. My experience, when I've done it, is I put it in English and in Chinese, but usually we say the Chinese will be used because it's in China. I didn't know it was even possible to do English in China in a contract.
It is possible. It is, but the problem is sometimes they haven't found good lawyer or sometimes they just make some student of English to make the translation, but the translation actually doesn't reflect the true intention of the original contract. That will be a problem. So the English contract's standard will be most important.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'm curious, the three levels of court in China. I didn't have that in my notes, but
primary court, intermediate court, and supreme court.
Okay, and then normally, so English or international is intermediate?
Intermediate is like in the middle. Oh. Intermediate means in the middle.
In the middle of...
Yeah, 中级法院.
Oh, okay, like so in the center of, between the two, so second level.
Yeah, second level.
And then, of course, Supreme is very, like in the U.S., they have Supreme Court, which is a very high-level court.
Yeah,
has to be
yeah,
very...
Very important, very large-scale cases.
And then the first level is...
Primary level.
Primary, and then that's
like,
most common.
Different Nanshan district.
Oh, okay.
Local district.
Oh, okay. So even in the districts, even. Okay, and it's a smaller court?
Yeah. Smaller court accepting smaller cases.
Great. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah.
So then, of course, I think listeners always need legal help when they do business, and hopefully some people will be interested in your service. Can you share a little bit or a little bit of promotion for you? And I think also businesses, especially small businesses, are afraid of lawyers being so expensive. So I don't know, maybe you can give us some examples of your rate.
We tried to make a kind of platform for the SMEs because we think that will benefit them better, but it's not developed well. So, yeah, we totally understand the MSEs' problems about legal issues. So, yeah, well, we are not so expensive. We are connected with several law firms, and usually for our businesses, we help foreign countries to settling into China. So we can do the foreign business registration or some of the drafting, some of the basic contracts for them. And we provide some investment assistance to the new business here in China.
Great.
Yeah, we also have a kind of training business that is to the lawyers here in China.
Okay, great. So it's hard. So then,
the rate is...
Yeah, the rate, okay.
We can charge by case and per case or per hour. So it's different. Yeah.
I think SME probably wants per project, so they...
Yeah, each project will be, we will calculate the workload.
All right. And then ways people can contact you or your firm?
Yeah, sure. My email, zhanghy@lawincn.com.
And I'll also put that on our show notes of episode 40 so that people could use that. And then the website's also in your email, right? If they want to read, is it English website or?
Yeah. They're English website.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. We'll link that also on the show. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I think our listeners learned a lot. Yeah.
Thanks for the listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for your listening.
Okay. I'm just so happy and excited we got Hui Ying on the show. She was a little bit nervous and, of course, English isn't her first language, but I think she did an amazing job. And I'd like everybody's feedback and support for her. Maybe they can just reach out, shoot her a note to thank her for sharing everything there. And hopefully you guys learned something. I'm also really, really jealous, to be honest, that this knowledge and information is being put out there for free from us. I had to make a lot of mistakes and lose a lot of money to learn some of these things. But hopefully you guys can really apply it and use it to save money as well as to make money doing your global international businesses. So I'm also working on a conference this spring in 2015. Not much news, but I have a few pretty high-level keynote speakers from different parts of the world that are already kind of penciling this in. I haven't totally confirmed. I know everybody comes down for the Canton Fair and Global Sources Hong Kong Fair, so I'm thinking maybe do it around that time frame, maybe a 1 or 2 day event, if anybody has some feedback. I also got some pretty cool listener feedback in Beijing of people trying to set up a Hong Kong company that learned a ton from here. And I actually asked him to help me out with an iTunes review. He says he's going to help me out. I've only got 4 so far. You know, I know there's people enjoying the show and I don't want to beg, but I guess from what other podcasters tell me that these reviews help the show get more listeners. And so if you want to share and help me out, leave me an iTunes review. I know it's a little bit difficult, but I really appreciate it. And next week, we're going to get some more great, great content for you guys. All right. So thanks for tuning in. Till next time.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.